jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome back to the Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2018. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Good to be back.
Certainly is, mate. It's been an enjoyable off season, as it generally has been for us over the last few years, because this is our 10th year that we're celebrating doing the show. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I think I've already built up the fitness over the last 10 pre-seasons that I don't need to go quite so hard anymore.
Definitely raring to go, though, and having played with a few starting teams so far, very excited by the mid-price prospects, as we generally are early on in the preseason.
Especially you, mate.
So I just do want to say a massive shout out to anyone out in our community that's joined us for the journey so far. 9 seasons that we've already knocked off, and last year finally taking out the league prize and 15 of the top 20 leagues overall. I think we've continued to go from strength to strength, Mark. And to anyone who's new to the Supercoach Coach community, welcome. We hope that through our podcast, we make you stronger super coaches and help out with your decision-making throughout what can be a pretty grueling 23 weeks.
Yeah, pretty excited last year to take out the number one ranking. I think we've dominated overall league rankings as a group for the last few years. But yeah, just to finish very easily up on top and be quite clear of any other competition was a nice feeling, and just shows the credit to not just people that listen to the podcast, but the entire community and working together, and to have such amazing results is very impressive from everyone out there.
Supercoachcoach.com.au is where you can go to find our community. We've got a forum that you can check out and post any questions. And
plenty of long-term members of that community that are very much experts in Supercoach that are participating in those conversations. And they're the real leaders of our community that have helped guide us to such successful results.
Should mention our Patreon page as well. So patreon.com/supercoachcoach, where you can go to support the show. We've been doing this, like I said, for 9 years so far, and none of that has been sort of sponsored by corporates or anything like that. And a couple of years ago, we started up a Patreon campaign that allows our listeners to just pitch in what they choose, essentially, from a dollar a week to help the show out and try and give a little bit back. Last year, we delivered a few sort of extra posts and extra podcasts for that Patreon community, and actually the top league last year for an 18-man league was our Supercoach Coach Patreons league, and I believe the other two were in the top 20 or in the top 50. So it's a very strong group of super coaches who support us as well. So if you want to get stuck into some good competition to support us, head over to patreon.com/supercoachcoach. We should also mention that in our 10th year, there is a potential for this to be our last year, Mark. So very keen for the support on Patreon, because it really helps pay the bills and keep us going. But we've been doing this for a really, really long time now. And as you can all imagine, in 10 years, our lives have changed quite a bit. Mark has now 2 little boys with his gorgeous wife, Mel, and they're growing up and needing more of his time and love. And so we do want to flag that right up front, I think, Mark, that the time pressures are getting to be a lot on us. And when we were shooting for this 10th year for a while now, so we'll see how we go as the year progresses. But there is some chance that this might be the last year of the show.
Yeah, I think big changes. We've both got pretty full-on careers now. Well, I think we're both students when this started, and I'm sure everyone out there would acknowledge that that does lead to a reduction in time. But we are still very passionate about the game and the community, so keen to have at least one more big year.
Please give us all your love. Get it stuck into the community. If you can, support us. Help us pay some bills. It really does help out. And Mark will be joining us for all of the preseason shows, but he'll actually be dropping off a little bit during the actual season. We'll try and get him on for at least half of the regular season shows, but Mark's time commitments we'll see him sort of dropping out for a few of those shows. So just flag that right out front, and I will be putting a call out for additional podcast guests. So if you think you're suitable, I will be posting a call out for that in the next few weeks over the preseason. The good part, Mark, is having run a community like this for so many years, we have plenty of great super coaches that are more than willing and able to jump on the show and share some of their wisdom. And I think over the last few years, we've had some great guests, Dunny and Faz, of course, being the two regulars, and Jack and Keffer and Hawker and that. So we should hopefully have enough coverage for you, mate, but it's big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting Dunny on the show. I saw him writing for the Herald Sun the other day, so he's becoming super famous, more famous than both of us. So, yeah, pretty keen to have him on board still.
Yeah, well, maybe you can keep this show going, mate, with the Dunny Super Coach Coach podcast, and we can come on as guests in the future. All right, enough chat on non-Supercoach related content. Before we do go into the actual show, though, I do want to mention our leagues and our groups as well. I'll post links to register for our ranked leagues and to join our Supercoach Coach group on the podcast page on supercoachcoach.com.au. So if you're wanting to get stuck into those, I know a lot of people have been asking us, when do league registrations start? Because like I said, 15 of the top 20 last year, everyone's keen to get involved. I'll be posting that together with this podcast, Mark. So what we're actually going to talk about today, Mark, we're going to have a quick chat about the buys and implications to our team planning. We're going to talk about the first pick players in our team. I thought that segment went over well last year, Mark. And of course, as we like to do most preseasons, have a chat about who might sit in the top eight or the top four of the comp come season end, because
go Bombers.
That generally... Well, you guys are right in contention this year, I reckon, but that generally informs how many sort of elite players or elite Supercoach scoring players end up in a team, and we like to pick from those winning teams when we can, Mark.
Does that mean I can have five Bombers this year?
I think finally you've been starved for some Supercoach relevant Bombers players, but we'll see. We will see.
Yeah, we've got a couple of new recruits, and Joey Danaher might have a decent season. But we better be clear that this is not the Bombers show. We'll wait till Faz comes on for that.
So let's get off the Bombers, Mark, and into the first topic for first show of 2018. So the Supercoach buys. So last year was the first year that we had a international game. Port and Gold Coast played in China in round 8, and then they got a round 9 bye. This year, they are going to continue with that game, but instead they're going to play that game in round 9 and have a bye in round 10. So it's 1 week later, and the byes were, I think, rounds 13, 14, and 15 last year, whereas this year it's rounds 12, 13, and 14. So the gap between that Port Adelaide Gold Coast game and the first bye round has shrunk from 3 weeks to 1. I don't really think that particularly means anything to the Supercoach players, but it's just something to keep in mind of. You've got the two teams off in round 10, then you've got four teams off in round 12, and then 6 and 6 in rounds 13 and 14. What's worthwhile noting, though, is that in rounds 12, 13, and 14, the official bye rounds, we only have to play 18 players on field for Supercoach purposes. So we just take a blanket top 18, whereas in round 10, you still have to field the full 22. So if you have any premiums that are missing, you get punished more for those Port and Gold Coast premiums than you would for any of the other teams.
Yeah, look, I think that in the last few years, what I've realized with the buyers is I've actually put a lot less work into them. 5 years ago, whenever they came in, it was like our whole teams were structured around that. But I think that you've just got to really focus on just picking the best players for your team, the best structure with the rookies. And then, look, if it's a toss-up and it's a true 50-50, you might consider the buys. But beyond that, I just think you just got to pick the best team and sort of plan a little bit later on. What you said about Gold Coast and Port is probably right, that like with Ryder last year, it might be best off just upgrading to those players after their buy, unless they start presenting a whole bunch of value. Like, you could make a case that Rockliffe is so cheap compared to what his potential is that you just have to start with him rather than trying to upgrade to him. We'll get to that on the midfielder show, though, I'm sure.
It is worth noting that with mid prices, you probably don't have to consider the round 10 buy as much if you're picking a Port or Gold Coast mid pricer, because you're likely wanting to move them that mid pricer on prior to that point anyway. But certainly for premiums, Mark, it does add an interesting little wrinkle, and Tom Rockliffe is the prime example of that this year. I think the other interesting thing to consider is in round 12 and in round 13 last year, because there are only four teams on the bye, it can be pretty challenging to stack your team with a lot of round 12 bye players or premiums because there are only four teams to choose from. So Carlton, Hawthorn, West Coast and Western Bulldogs players all of a sudden look a little bit more attractive because when you're looking to spread your bye players across the three rounds, we often find rounds 13 and 14 and 14 and 15 last year ends up being more of a headache than round 12.
Yep, that's fair. But you can be upgrading to those guys across the course of the season. And I guess the other part of that sum is that they're the guys you're going to be targeting in round 13. So the people that have already had their buys are going to be from those teams that you're going to actually want to bring those guys in as soon as possible. So you don't want to end up with too many players from those teams. Just getting a bit of balance is going to be the key.
Having Port and Gold Coast play a couple weeks earlier, 3 weeks earlier last year, definitely seemed to ease it a little bit as well because all of a sudden you had a couple of players that were buy free during that entire patch. So you can generally maneuver around the buys without structuring your entire team around it, as Mark started off by saying. So any more strategic considerations there, Mark, or shall we move on?
Look, I think we should move on. I think that there'll be stuff to come up over the next few weeks. And like I said, you don't want to get too bogged down in the buy stuff. So although we've started with it, I think that just kind of putting it to the back of your mind is probably the best idea at this stage.
Yeah, it's more a reminder more than anything else. And probably the Port Gold Coast guys are the only real players that you need to pay extra attention to. All right, next topic, Mark. First picked in 2018. Why don't you kick us off in the back line? Who have you first picked there, mate?
The second first pick that I've got is Pierce Hanley. I just think that despite the buys, that his value and potential midfield role is something that I'll be keeping a very close eye on over the preseason. But I think first picked has to be Rory Laird with Brody Smith out for a bit. And just the season that he had last year, I know he's a bit more expensive than he was last year. I think that with Doherty injured, he's the secure, safe, 100 points a week sort of guy with a potential bit of upside. So Rory Laird's the number one pick for me.
He was pretty close to my number one pick as well, Mark, but I've got suckered into a bit of value here. I think looking at the back line, it's a struggle to find good point scorers again in 2018. Might have even got even worse compared to 2017 with some of the established stars dropping out like Simpson, Shaw, and then you got Doherty going down. So it is a painful era. We'll probably leave that as the last show for the preseason because it's going to be that much of a challenge and we're going to need some preseason form and probably have to pick some mid prices. And because of that, Heath Shaw to me sort of fits the bill as a mid pricer that I'm going to put my neck out for a little bit. I mean, everyone can probably see the signs that Williams and Wilson not playing in 2018 that were really starting to take some of that rebound out of the back line away from Heath Shaw. Griffin, they're talking about him moving down back because they're struggling so much with how they're going to structure up that back line. So I think Heath Shaw went from averaging like 110 and being a must-have back line premium to all of a sudden last year just crashing out of Supercoach scoring. Having said that, though, he's an absolute leader down back. They still go to him to structure up their back line. He's still very strong when he does have the ball, but last year he seemed to move to almost more of a mentor role. Heath Shaw is typically, like, as a Supercoach selection and a player, like, being a fairly hungry bloke. Like, he always wants the ball and wants to take the kicks and wants to score the points. And last year, it really felt like he was happy to sort of transition his knowledge and give the points away. And his scoring really tanked. But at 458,000 and with a lack of backline options, I think he's going to be a fairly good pick.
I'm really proud of you, mate, for making that selection because it's either a hero or a zero pick. I think you're going to come out looking like a bit of an idiot on this one, though. He's got 18 months of poor scoring. I think that rather than replace Williams and Wilson with Shaw, I think that they're going to replace them with other young players that can play that rebounding role. And Shaw will play more of a defensive general, but just more of a defensive playing role. And after 18 months of frustration, I don't think I could do it again. I can see the upside. And look, you may come out looking like an absolute genius here, but you may not as well.
I think the thing about East Shore and the thing about backline players is that they tend to be pretty inconsistent. So even if you see his trend line going up, there's still an opportunity to hop on the bandwagon without paying too much tax in terms of an increased price tag. So fair cons that you've raised there, Mark, and we'll see whether I actually start him come 2018. But he was one of my first picks in the backline there. So, all right, to the midfield, Mark, who have you gone for a first pick there? Is it Paddy Dangerfield as the El Capitano? Have you gone a Smokey? Who's your first pick in the midfield, mate?
Yeah, the midfield, I think, is going to be really, really tricky this year. And one of the main reasons for that is that we have to pick our teams based on where the rookies are. And if the rookies show in the midfield this year rather than other positions, then we're not going to be able to pick this 6 or 7 premium deep midfield like I know I've seen a few teams out there. So we're actually going to have to not pick some of these absolute guns that we would like to have in our team. The 3 premiums that I've got at the moment, like the 3 super premiums before I start going for some value, are Fife, Dusty, and Danger. Dusty presents value at 656. Fife showed at the end of last year just what he can do when he's fit. He's available at under 600,000 when he could be a top scorer for the year. And Danger, 749. I know that it's painful and you could definitely start without him and probably go okay, but just that captaincy factor, I think it just gets him across the line and it'd be really hard to start the season without him. So he's my number one.
I think Paddy just plays the ultimate sort of super coach game in terms of meters gained, in terms of winning the hard ball, scoring goals. Like when he gets played up forward, you know, he can knock out some absolutely monster games, and the captaincy really makes that pick even more enticing. You'd be pretty tempted without, you know, that captaincy option to say, well, I'll punt on him going slow at the start and picking him up cheaper. But the fact that you can get punished twice as hard for not having him makes him a pretty tough bloke to pass up on.
You haven't actually started doing it, but can I just say that I'm already sick of you talking about Dangerfield, Selwood, Ablett and Duncan as a combination in the midfield?
I haven't even mentioned it. Getting right on the front foot there, mate. I'm getting sick of the media talking about it, to be honest. Talk is Ablett's training the house down, though. So are you tempted by Ablett at all, mate?
Look, I think, yes, I'm definitely tempted by Ablett. I'm just not sure I've got a spot to fit him in.
It's a tough one because even Selwood seems underpriced at 562.
You just couldn't pick him as the third scoring midfielder, though, could you? Like, you'd think,
exactly.
You'd think that the other two score more than him. And you've got to actually think that Selwood, Danger, Ablett, is there actually room for all three of them to do well? And is that just going to put a little bit of a cap on Dangerfield scoring, potentially having Ablett there to take some points? So that's probably one factor to raise with the Dangerfield pick.
The midfield show is going to be very interesting this year because I see a lot of good value. I mean, the Sydney midfielders last year crashed in points. You got Kennedy at 560, Hanbury at 530, Parker at 530, and then you've got Pendlebury at 586. Oh, you've got Treloar dropped down in price as well, and then you've got Rockliffe at 529. You could fit your entire 8 midfielders with blokes that have the capacity to score 110, 115, who are priced at 100.
Mm.
I don't think I've seen such a glut of options before. It's actually pretty exciting.
And that value presenting itself with limited premium spots in the midfield might be another factor that squeezes Dangerfield out at some point.
So that's why I haven't actually gone with Dangerfield for my first pick. Mine's actually a bit of a mid-pricer. It's a hark back to old times. Ryan Griffin, 277,000. If he plays that half back spot, he's got the assets to score big. He has averaged, you know, 105, 110 before from memory. If he's fit and firing, and if he plays round one, I'd be hard pressed to omit him from my team. And I know Faz will have him locked right in there because Faz is a massive Ryan Griffin fan.
Yeah. And I think that now that the early draft picks have gone up in price, like over the last few years compared to the early days of Supercoach, that Griffin's only 75,000 more than a Cam Rayner. So if he's playing and fit, you'd have to think that he's a very good pick.
All right, into the rucks, Mark. This one, you know, it was actually pretty tough for me, but I went with Maxi Gawn. It's pretty hard in the end not to pick a bloke that I think only 2 years ago absolutely smashed it and had a monster season. So 503,000 last year affected by injuries. Seems an absolute bargain, and his career trajectory is still pointing upwards, so he can get better. I'm guessing is a lock for you too.
Yeah, and he is first picked out of the two. But, I mean, we can do the ruck show right now if you want. Gawn and Nick Nat,
yeah.
Throw away the key.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen a few people looking at Martin. Goldstein's tempting too. There are value options, but I know you and I, Mark, we are big Nick Nat fans. Massive. And to get him at 465...
Throw away the key.
I'm looking forward just to seeing him back in the league. I miss those skyscraper leaps. And I think there was a game where he took the ball from the center bounce, won his own tap, ran to the 50 and kicked the goal. Like, I can't wait to see that again in 2018.
It's great to have someone that exciting to barrack for. I think that the player that I would consider in that spot potentially against Nick Nat would be a Rory Lobb, but he's only available as a forward, which is a bit weird. Not even a ruck forward. So at 400,000, Lobb interests me. But yeah, it's going to be very hard to go back past Nick Nat and Gorn. We'll talk about it on the ruck show, but I guess some players do struggle the year after to come back from a knee injury. I know that he's been on a modified program over Christmas, but he was pretty close to being right to go before the finals last year. And he's so much fun to watch. It's going to be hard not to pick him.
All right, to the forward line now. Who's your first pick there, mate? I actually think the forward line is also a bit challenging again this year.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. There's heaps of options to choose from, but some of them really look like traps, like fun traps.
Yeah,
but
yeah, true.
There's a lot of mid-price premium value, like blokes that could step up from 85 to 100 or 90 to 100, and it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, the forward line could be pretty season defining in that sense, and we often find that with the forward line. With the positional this is where the positional changes are quite good for Supercoach. They make you be different and creative every year. I've got a few breakout contenders in my forward line at the moment. I'd be interested to hear what your picks are, but I think that my first pick as a mid-pricer is Alan Christensen, has scoring potential. Yes. He's probably my second picked forward. And at 267, that's super value, the sort of pick that you would love, especially as a former Cats man.
Yeah.
But I think number one picked at 536,000 is Isaac Heaney. He could be a 600K-plus player. Ooh. I think that he is an absolute lock.
I am still struggling with the Heaney pick over Robbie Gray, to be honest. I know that Robbie didn't have the most exciting season last year, but with talk of Port pushing up into potentially that four, I mean, they were stacked in last year's trade season together with the Bombers. Robbie Gray could be looking at... That bloke's capable of averaging 110, even 120 across a patch, so... He's a bloke that I'd be scared to leave out my team, and that's why I've actually picked him over Heaney at this stage. But my team's full of like mid-price nonsense at this stage, so it's not a real team yet.
Yeah, that's you make a very good case for Robbie Gray, and you'd have to think that he probably won't do worse than last year, and he does have that massive upside. So, yeah, they're pretty good reasons to pick him, mate.
All right, on to the next section of the show now, Mark. So I think we've covered it a little bit as we've talked about our first pick players, but initial thoughts about Supercoach 2018, how the selections are stacking up, what the options available will mean to our team structures. Just to start off with, I think, like you said, this seems like one of the easiest ruck years. Normally, we're struggling to find options or we don't want to pay too much for the established options, but there's plenty of blokes who've had seasons to forget last year. Matthew Cruiser is the highest averaging ruckman of 2017. Who would have guessed that at the start of the year?
Well, I did.
With 110 average.
I did take him in draft, so I'm going to claim that.
And then you've got Ryder at 103, which he was one of your first picked in preseason 2017, Mark. So that was a good call from you. You started him. I traded him in. 103 he averaged last
that's
year.
That's pretty disappointing,
that's
isn't it?
For 100 averaging
ruck.
As
in the past, we've seen a couple over 115, 120 marks. So, yeah, look, I think that rucks are always, like we talk about the forward line being season defining, rucks are always so season defining. In the past, when there's been really obvious ruck choices, that's generally turned out to be the best way to go. Last year, obviously, we completely nailed it, bringing in Witz as the ruck. And that was like, that was a huge factor in our successful season last year.
Slaying it.
Yeah, I just think that when it's really, really obvious, don't overthink it.
The other thing I think that we've already sort of touched on a little bit is the back line. The back line looks so bad. So bad. I have no idea who to pick from. We only have five players that average 99 or more. Doherty's out for the season already, so that leaves four left. Laird, I think, like you said, is pretty damn close to a lock. Hibbert averaged 99 last year, but he struggles to play 22 games.
Yeah, I did think
and
of that.
He's never averaged 99 for a whole season before. Elliot Yeo is tempting, but he's priced at a premium right now. Hurley is tempting, but he's a key position player. So, and then after that, it drops right off. Yeah. Like it's going to be hard going in the back.
I think everyone would have had Zach Williams in their team. It's interesting because at the start, if the preseason was like a couple of months ago, everyone would have had Williams and Doherty in their team, I think. So having those two really obvious candidates taken out does make things very interesting. But that's, like I said, it's a positive from a Supercoach perspective, just because that's where you get to be creative a little bit. And that's where you actually get to pick breakout candidates, because normally picking breakout candidates isn't necessarily a long-term successful Supercoach strategy. And there's so many advice sites out there that teams do become pretty similar. But when that's pretty difficult as it is at the moment, I think that that can actually be a positive thing. My early season smoky is, I've got two of them actually, is Luke McDonald from North and Andy McGrath. That might be a bit of Bombers biased in there, but number one draft pick in his second year. He will play more up the ground this year. Saw him in the intra-club taking a few balls straight out of the center and kicking him into the forward 50. So, yeah, he interests me as well. One of the things that has come out of this season is there's so much value around that you may be able to fit an extra premium in if you sort of take all of it or a lot of it.
Normally, when we're talking about mid-prices, they seem to be sitting in that slightly untouchable 300 to 400 range, but there's actually quite a few mid-priced options priced in the 200s this year that has my lips licking, Mark.
Maybe people should not be listening to you right now, because you do love a mid-pricer, and it sounds like you may have between 8 and 10 at the moment.
Anything else you want to talk about, initial impressions, Mark?
Not really, just I am probably a little bit biased towards the Bombers at this time in the season, because I know a lot more about what's been happening with their team. But the Smith-Joey Danaher-Stringer forward line combo I find interesting. I think they're all potentially quite good picks this year. Smith's probably the most likely to make my team. Just don't have a lot of knowledge about rookies this year, so you sort of need to have a bit of a floating structure in your team, because the final team that you pick is going to be determined by where those rookies are, especially sort of where the heaviness is of them and whether there's enough in the back line or forward line.
Early days, that's why we still have so many mid-prices. It's hard to be picking random rookies, but there's certainly a few that are standing out early days in terms of the chatter that's coming out. So let's move on to the last topic for the first show back. Top 8 predictions, Mark. So I think for Supercoach, we're actually looking more at like top 6 teams, like the teams that are going to be clearly in the finals and pushing for that top 4, because they end up winning a lot more games than they lose, and therefore their players score more, and therefore they have more Supercoach premiums that are coming out of there, or you get an extra 5 points just because the team's winning as opposed to playing for a losing team. So it's what we like to consider early days of the preseason, is to try and have a decent concentration within, you know, those finals bound teams. I know you obviously have Essendon for the premiership at this stage, Mark, but who else do you have contending for the top 4?
It's a really interesting year from that perspective with some player movements. I think that Essendon, Port and Geelong have benefited significantly from some player movements, and they have the potential as a result to make significant charges up the table. So I think that the Giants, despite losing some players, Mumford, Williams, Wilson, that they have enough young people coming through that they should be still a top 4 team. I think that the Cats should be a top 4 team just purely off that midfield. You would think that premiers of the last 2 years, the Dogs and the Tigers, would do well. Crows made a grand final last year. They looked so good in doing so. Maybe the last year for Rory Sloane there. Got the Swannies up there as well again. It's really hard. I think that, so those 8 teams that I've mentioned, and that doesn't include the Saints, Melbourne or the Hawks, who they should also, well, especially the Saints of Melbourne, should be pushing right for the top 8. So there's always a couple of ones that you don't predict. So there's always a couple that probably finish a lot higher than you predict, and the couple that don't make the 8 that you would have thought that they would at the start of the year. So yeah, it's always trickier this time of year to pick the top whatever, top 4, top 6, top 8. I think that Giants, Essendon, Port, Cats, and probably my tip for the top 4, but that's leaving some very, very high-quality teams out of there. So I'm almost certainly going to be wrong.
I think most of the public generally are pretty in consensus in the preseason, because you're all going off the same stories, the same trade-ins. Whether or not the new recruits at Port or Essendon realize that promise, whether or not Ablett can actually play 22 games, all that sort of yet to be determined. But I'm pretty much in agreement with you there. I think that if I were to put like an extra 5% consideration on any players, they'd probably come out of Sydney, Geelong, Essendon, Port, Giants and Adelaide, six teams.
Which I think is doing a disservice to the Tigers, really. And I noted as well in the way that I was talking. It's also doing a disservice to Saints and Melbourne, who just, there's so many uncertainties there, but they could really win five extra games this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I guess you don't want to put too much weighting in picking your players purely from, you know, whether or not they're coming from a finals-bound team. So, but it is a little wrinkle that is interesting to consider. And, yeah, certainly don't want to be pissing off any opposition supporters early days.
Except North Melbourne supporters, because we probably don't have any listeners that support North. Sorry. That's just a hangover from the 90s, and I'm a little bit bitter.
All right, Mark, that wraps up this week's show. Anything else you want to mention for our first show back, mate?
Good to be back, buddy, and look forward to learning a bit more just by talking to you over the preseason.
I think we'll start the positional shows from the next show. So we've slated to do six this preseason. This first intro show, we'll probably start with the Rucks next week, Mark. It's probably the easiest one.
Yeah, that'll be a five-minute show.
So I reckon we'll do rucks, midfielders is the second easiest, forwards, and then tackle the defenders last. So that'll be the order for any of you that are wanting that forward visibility. And then we'll do a final recap and rookies show to take us in to the season proper. I think with the AFLX and with AFL women's competition now and the shortening of the number of preseason games we play and the trial matches that happen, I almost feel like preseason's a little bit delayed this year. You getting the same sort of feeling, Mark?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think that in the past, we probably would have done the show maybe even a couple of weeks earlier, but there just hasn't been a need. There hasn't been enough news coming out yet. Sorry, if I just say one final thing, just a shout out to Jock, who has announced his retirement today from the Supercoach world. Appreciate his contribution over the years. It's obviously a very different sort of format and style than what we do. But anyone out there that's a genuine believer in Supercoach that's out there publicising the game that we love, much appreciation to him and his team, and sad to see him go. So well done to Jock.
Yeah, we know how hard it can be to keep the content coming out, and Jock was churning a lot of that out as well. So all the best to him in his next adventures. And just a few things to take us to the end of the show. So just a reminder, our 10th season, thank you again for joining us. And if you want to support us, patreon.com/supercoachcoach, just helping to pay the bills and giving us a little bit back to show up every week really does help out. And we don't want to put pressure on anyone that's not in a position to support us, so that's why we're making the show freely available, but if you can afford it and you want to support us, it is very, very much appreciated, and thank you very much for any patrons that are sticking again with us this season. We'll be sending out league codes shortly. Hopefully you guys can replicate the success from last year and take out the 18-man league again. And then Supercoach League and group registrations will be posted together with this podcast, supercoachcoach.com.au, for all those details. All right, that's it for the first show back, Mark. I'll catch you again next week. See you all next week.